Hey, hello. Welcome to the Nomad Tactics Podcast. Here we provide a complete how-to guide for digital nomads. I'm your host, B, and I'm joined by the co-host, Mr. Jack. Today, we're going to talk about some general safety tips for your valuable belongings. I will start with a quick summary of the episode. First, me and Jack gonna talk about the general aim of today's episode. After that, we're gonna contextualize the topic within our digital nomad life system. Then I will make two quick clarifications and considerations about the topic of the safety of your valuable belongings as a digital nomad. And finally, I will provide the first 15 tips that you can use in order to keep your stuff safe on the road. I hope you enjoy the episode.
So, hello, Mr. B.
Hello, Jack.
So, in the last episode, we talked about where should you put your valuable belongings like cash, jewelry, electronics when you are traveling. In other words, we talk about whether you should put these in your accommodation or bring them with you when you go out. So in today's episode, we will talk about more generally in terms of some useful tips to keep your things safe as you travel. So, Mr. B, as usual, I think we should put this topic into our digital nomad life system. And if you don't know what the digital nomad life system is, it is a six-step system aimed to help people going from a non-digital nomad life into a digital nomad life. So, Mr. B, where would you put this topic into which step of the system?
So, the topic today would fit the fifth step of our system, and the fifth step is called nomadic living. Nomadic living, for the people that are not aware, is probably the broadest of all steps in our system. And this step can be basically understood as the collection of all the advice that would be relevant to a digital nomad whenever he's living in a base, i.e. his temporary home. Of course, this is very much context sensitive, depending on the specific situation of the digital nomad and the place in which he's living. Having said that, worrying about your valuable belongings is something that typically you will do once you are staying in a base. So it makes sense to place this topic here.
I see. So, Mr. B, I think before we go into the main topic, there are two general considerations you want to talk about, right?
Yeah, that's right. The first thing is that perhaps the meta tip here, or the grand tip one can take away, is that you should only take belongings that are very valuable to you if those are strictly necessary. And of course, this sounds obvious, but in one sense, you always got to keep in mind that whenever you're traveling, there is, I would say, a considerable risk of losing your valuable belongings. So there's really no point taking with you something that is not strictly necessary and you value a lot. And when we are talking about risks on the road to do with your valuable belongings, I would say that there are mainly two distinct types of risk. The first type of risks are risks involving yourself, i.e. things that you yourself might do to your belongings, like forgetting it somewhere. But there are also risks involving other people. And these are things that other people might do to your valuable belongings, like stealing it, for instance. Surprisingly enough, I feel like the biggest risk to one's own belongings is oneself. And what do I mean by that is that in most cases, when something happens to one's valuable belongings, it's usually a case of a person either losing the thing or damage it on its own due to some sort of negligency. Having said that, this podcast episode will primarily focus on protecting your valuable belongings from other people. And this takes me to the second point I would like to make. The second point that I would like to make is that country risk is not the same all over the world. Different countries have, of course, different safety levels. Thus, the protection measures one should take will depend on where they are staying, where they are going, which kind of country, how safe it is. In the previous podcast episode, I have classified countries into three types. So the first type is what I call safe countries. And safe countries basically are countries that crime is very unlikely to happen from any sort. And the paramount examples of safe countries are some countries in Middle East, Scandinavia, and East Asia. Slightly below that, you have what I call partially safe countries. So in partially safe countries, crime does happen, but if it happens, it's usually from a non-violent type, i.e. it's a crime that does not involve the threat or actual force. And I would say that partially safe countries, some examples would be European countries. And finally, you have unsafe countries. And unsafe countries are countries where crime happens quite often. And it can happen both from the violent as well as the non-violent type. So it might be an instance where the crime might involve the threat or actual force, like someone pointing a knife or a gun at you. Some unsafe countries are some places in South America, Africa, and countries around Russia. With this classification in mind, the more dangerous a country is, the more safety precautions I would take with my valuable belongings. So on the one hand, if I go to a quote-unquote safe country, I pretty much would only stick to the basics and use common sense. On the other hand, if I'm going to what I call the unsafe country, I would probably stick to pretty much all the measures that I'm about to mention later on this episode. The question that might follow now is, how can I know how safe a country is? And the first thing I need to say is that, of course, the assessment of country safety is not such an objective matter. There is a degree of interpretation there. But it seems to me like we can more or less estimate the safety level of a place. And there are a couple of different methods to do so. First method would be to, you know, ask the locals of the country about the safety level, like how safe the place is, which type of crime is likely to happen. Another method is to go to digital nomads that are living there for a while. You can contact them, for instance, using local Facebook groups and ask their opinion about the safety there. Third, you can use the Nomad List safety score. So Nomad List, of course, is the extremely famous website where they provide overviews about different cities around the world, and they provide a safety score there. I'm not exactly sure how they come up with that score, but based on my own assessment of the scores provided on the website, by kind of contrasting with cities I already been, I feel like it's more or less accurate. So it's a parameter. The fourth method is, in my opinion, the best method, and that is to go to the website Travel Safe Abroad. And in this website, they provide a very comprehensive overview about the safety of a country. So they provide a general score, but they also provide some more detailed information about the kind of risk that might be involved to go to a certain place. So definitely check it out, Travel Safe Abroad. We're going to leave the link in the description. Besides doing this kind of general research about the safety of a country, since we are talking about how to protect your valuable belongings, generally, I would do some additional things to gauge the specifics on how to protect yourself in a given country. So some of the things I would do is to ask locals or digital nomads living there for long, what are the main risky areas to avoid in a given place due to crime? Also, another good thing that you could do is to ask locals or digital nomads if there is any things that you should avoid, any things that are no-nos. Perhaps is going out at night, so some countries is kind of risky to go out at night, or perhaps is talking on the phone on the street. In some countries is also risky to do that. So basically it's to kind of have a feel of if there is any behavior you should avoid. And finally, the last thing you can do is to ask locals for the most common local scams that are run in the place. We will have a specific podcast episode to talk about travel scams. So wait for that.
I see. So with these clarification out of the way, I think it is time to go into the 15 tips of how to keep your valuables safe. So Mr. B, the first tip you wrote here is put your valuables into different places.
Yeah, so I think that is an extremely important tip for any digital nomad. And the rationale here is more or less the following. So we have this principle of diversification that applies to investing, right? So you don't want to put all your capital into one asset class. But I think the same thing applies to your valuable belongings. You don't want to be putting all the things you value into one single place. And the reason for that is quite straightforward. If you happen to lose whatever luggage or backpack you have all your belongings, you're going to lose everything that is of value to you. So by dividing up your valuables into different luggages or backpacks, you're going to be kind of mitigating the risk.
So the next tip here is have a copy of the most important documents with you.
This measure is very important in cases where you get stolen or you forget a valuable somewhere. These are things like your credit card, your passport, the relevant visa, ID cards, driving license, and even the serial number of your main electronics. And it seems to me that there is a twofold reason why it is important to, you know, have this backup copy of these important documents. The first reason is because if something goes missing and you want to report to the police and have any chance whatsoever to recover, it's very useful to provide the police with the specifics of the thing you lost. So if you can provide like a copy of the passport or a copy of the driving license, this going to be handier for the police to try to help you get it back. The second reason why it's important to have a backup copy of your documents is because, you know, if you lose, say, your passport and you want to block it or cancel it to order a new one, the whole process will be much quicker if you can provide the relevant information from your previous passport, like your passport number. So it's very important to have this number copy somewhere in order for you to access it.
So the next tip here is don't get too drunk if you are with your valuables.
So I know this is going to sound a little bit obvious, but I think it's still worth mentioning. And the idea here is that when you get drunk, not only will you be increasing the risk of losing the valuables yourself, but also you are increasing the risk of criminals noticing that you are drunk and perhaps they're going to try to take advantage of the situation. So the basic idea here is that whenever you go out and there is a considerable chance of you drinking a lot, think beforehand and leave your valuables like your passport or cameras in your accommodation.
The next tip here is invest in locks.
So there are basically two types of locks you should own as a digital nomad. These are padlocks and cable locks. So the former padlocks are obviously important to prevent people from accessing our belongings in the first place. And the latter, cable locks, are important to prevent individuals from stealing your luggage altogether because, you know, cable locks are these things that, these cables that you wrap around some heavy furniture or some solid structure and people won't be able to snatch your things away. Whenever possible, I think it's smart to lock your things up, even if you are next to your things, but especially if your things are not directly next to you. Sure, you might say that locks are no guarantee that someone will break into those and access your valuables. Though this is true, the aim here is not to make a foolproof protection method. Rather, it is simply to make the life of whoever wants to steal your things harder, thus discouraging him from choosing you as the victim in the first place, since a lot of people will be much less protected than you. And just a quick note I would like to make about locks. I would avoid TSA-approved ones, these are the ones that have the, you know, small red symbol on those. And that's because these locks can be opened with a special key that in theory should only be accessible by, you know, officials in airports and stuff like that. But nowadays, many criminals already have those keys. And by using TSA locks, sometimes you might get stolen and not even noticing it because the person might use the key, open it, get your things, and then close it back. And you're just going to notice a long time later.
So the next tip here is watch out for local scams.
So one very common way to lose your valuables, especially cash, is by falling victim of a scam. So it's imperative for you to seek local advice online or in guidebooks about any known scams in the areas that you're traveling to. Some of these scams are very general and can be observed worldwide. So these are things like taxi scams or some sorts of pickpocketing strategies. And other scams are very specific to some cities or countries. As I said previously, we will record a future podcast episode talking about the subject and how to deal with these most common types of scams.
So the next tip here is never put your valuable belongings in the trunk of a taxi or Uber.
So many times when you get to a new place, you will want to get a taxi. And in many instances, the taxi driver, either on good or bad faith, might attempt to put your things in the car trunk. For certain things, this might be inevitable. So if you have a very big luggage, but for the smaller things, and especially with your valuables, I would avoid that at all costs. And I would rather, you know, get the backpack with my valuables or even the luggage with my valuables and have it next to me in the car. The reason why it is kind of risky to put things in the trunk of the car is because once you get to the destination and you leave the car to get to the trunk, if the driver has bad intentions, as soon as you leave the car, he might simply, you know, drive away quickly, and then it's kind of bye-bye for your valuables. So to avoid that, you have the things with you, and when you leave the car, you take these things immediately with you. You're not going to face the same risk.
So the next tip here is check your insurance.
So it's already a strategy in itself to have a valuable item lost or stolen. But imagine how much worse it would be if you find out that the item isn't covered by your travel insurance. Therefore, it's very important for you to, you know, have travel insurance in the first place for your most valuable items and to make sure about the policy before you leave, because, you know, sometimes you might assume something's covered, but it's actually not, or perhaps you might assume a country is covered and it's actually not. So the tip here is to simply make sure everything is okay to do with your insurance before you go to this new country, especially if it's not a very safe country.
So the next tip here is wear your backpack in the front.
By wearing your backpack in front of you, you are adding this additional layer of protection, since you're gonna prevent people from sneakily getting things from your back. The downside of doing that is that obviously you're going to look like a tourist. But as we're going to talk about later on in the next episode, you want to avoid looking like a tourist at all costs, since this is going to bring you unnecessary attention and criminals might deem you as a good target. So there is some sort of balancing of reasons necessary in such case. Is it better to look like a tourist but have this extra layer of protection to do with putting your bag in front or not?
So the next tip here is be alert in queues.
So long queues are full of bored people waiting to check in or to buy their tickets. And these are, of course, prime targets for thieves. So the tip here, it's to basically, whenever you are in a queue, you should, you know, pay close attention to your belongings. And I think the previous tip that I just talked about of putting your bag in front of you applies here very much. So a queue is the place where you want to be putting the things in front of you. Otherwise, you might not notice someone pickpocketing you just behind you.
So the next tip here is be alert in public transport.
So in the same way that you should be alert in queues, you should also be alert in public transport. The basic idea here is that your belongings should ideally be with you at all times. If that is not possible for some reason, at the very least, this should be in your field of vision. This can be more or less translated as follows. If possible, put your valuable belongings underneath the seat in front of you. If that is not possible for some reason, let's say your luggage is too big, then try to put your belongings somewhere in front of the place you're sitting, never in a place backwards. Otherwise, if you put on a place backwards on the public transport, you're not going to be able to constantly be having some sort of sight of the thing. You're not going to be having this passive vision of your valuables. Another thing to be attentive to do with public transport, like buses and trains, is the place in which you're going to stay there. So you should always avoid staying by the door, because this is the best location for a criminal to simply snatch your belongings and, you know, jump off as soon as the bus or train is departing. And if that happens, out of the time, you won't have enough time to, you know, get out yourself to chase the person.
So the next tip here is be strategic about where to leave your valuable belongings.
So this is more or less a plug to our previous podcast episode. But the basic idea here is that you have two main options to do with where you're going to leave your things, your valuable belongings. Either you're going to take the valuable belongings with you whenever you go out, or you're going to leave those in your accommodation. The best strategy will depend on how safe a country is. So if you remember in the beginning of this episode, I made this distinction between safe, partially safe, and unsafe countries. So to better understand this topic and know the best strategy that applies for a specific country, I would highly encourage you to listen to episode 41, our previous episode.
So the next tip here is never handle your card for the person to process payment in the back of the shop.
It is very dangerous to handle your card to someone, either your credit card or your debit card, when you're paying for something and lose it from your sight. The reason why this is dangerous is, you know, if they get your card and go to the back of the shop, they gonna be able to acquire all the necessary information to clone your card, i.e. make an identical copy that they can use it and basically spend your money. If the vendor of the shop wants to take your card to the back of the shop, you should insist to follow him to see what he's doing exactly, or ask him to bring the card machine to the front and, you know, do it in front of you.
So the next tip here is don't put any valuables in your checked luggage.
So you might notice by now that the kind of overall meta principle of this whole podcast episode is that whenever you go out with your valuable belongings, you should try to keep those as close as possible to you, having those belongings ideally locked somehow. So putting your valuable belongings in the checked luggage when you're taking public transport is, of course, not a good idea, because the luggage either can get lost. We talked about this a couple of times when we were talking about, you know, tips related to planes and how that might happen sometimes. Or, you know, if you check the luggage, you are giving an opportunity to someone to have enough time to try to access the content of it. Either way, you might be losing your valuable belongings. Therefore, whenever you're taking some sort of public transportation, you should always have your valuable belongings in your carry-on luggage just next to you.
So the next tip here is protect yourself with RFID blocking wallet or bag.
So some passports and credit cards nowadays come embedded with chips. This RFID chips transmit information wirelessly, and this can be available to anyone with the proper scanner. Of course, the chips in these things, in passports and credit cards, were designed to make your life easier. But they also made possible a new form of kind of electronic pickpocketing, where a criminal will basically, you know, get this scanner next to you when you are in a crowded place, like a subway, a bus, public transport hub, and he gonna get close enough to, you know, use the scanner and acquire all the necessary information. The countermeasure to that would be to have a wallet or a bag that is RFID protective. In other words, a bag that prevents your card or your passport from sending these wireless signals to the scanner of the criminal. I will link on the show notes the wallet that was recommended to me. Though I don't have it, I'm strongly considering buying one after a friend of mine told me a very scary story about his passport.
So the last tip here is have the cancellation phone number of your bank card.
So this last tip here goes hand in hand with the previous advice that I talked about of having a backup copy of your main documents, including your bank cards. If someone happened to steal your bank credit or debit card, it is very important for you to cancel it as soon as possible. Therefore, the advice here is for you to always have at hand the phone number to cancel your card. By doing so, you're going to be able to block the card very quickly and prevent monetary loss.
Yeah, so that concludes the first 15 tips of how to keep your belongings safe. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to leave a review on your listening platform. This is Jack, and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.